I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mina damer och herrar, hjärtligt välkomna till Bilpodden med Auto, Motor och Sport. Mitt namn är Joakim Dyredand och du lyssnar på avsnitt nummer 26. Här har vi fått en exklusiv intervju med Max Missoni som är designchef på Polestar. Polestar som skulle ha visat den läckra konceptbilen Precept på Genève. Nu blev det ju ingen salong som ni alla vet, men vi har ju tillgång till webben och där har vi ju alla sett denna superläckra konceptbil. Max kommer att berätta lite om denna bilen för mig och Alrik Söderlind som gjort en intervju med Max över nätet som är så modernt i dessa dagar. Innan intervjun vill jag presentera Bilpoddens nya sponsor som är BSR, motoroptimering, som utvecklas i Växjö. Motoroptimering är ganska enkelt numera. Det är bara ett knapptryck bort efter att man har installerat mjukvaran i bilen. BSR erbjuder även maskingaranti efter att motoroptimeringen utförts och motor och växellåda tar ingen skada av dessa optimeringar utan de goda säkerhetsmarginalerna finns kvar i bilens drivlina. Du som lyssnar på Bilpodden har dessutom en rabattkod. Den är AMS2020 i ett ord. Du slår in rabattkoden när du handlar på BSRs hemsida. 25% rabatt på motoroptimering steg nummer 1. Och ange då rabattkoden AMS2020. Nu, mina damer och herrar, över till intervjun med Max Missoni på Polestar. Okay, so we're online now with Max Missoni, Polestar Design Director. Welcome.
Thank you.
Nice to have you here. And first of all, how are you and who are you? Could you please present yourself a little short for our listeners?
Well, I'm fine. I'm well. That's important these days. I hope you're well too. And I am well. I've been with Volvo Group, really. Volvo Car Group, that is, of course, with Volvo Car Group for the last 8 years now. I started at Volvo as head of exterior design and coming from the Volkswagen Group at that point. And we worked together to design the current lineup of Volvo cars, which was a very exciting time, I must say, and was a great experience to see this brand flourish to be a part of it. And then about 1.5-2 years ago, I took over the responsibility as leading Polestar Design, the new electric performance brand in the Volvo Car Group. And I still do the exterior design for Volvo cars as well. So that's a big challenge to do both. But again, it's very exciting because we are not only setting up Polestar's design language for the future, but also curating and developing Volvo's design language at the same time.
Mm-hmm. How is are your days? Is it 50-50 at Polestar and Volvo, or is it a little bit there and there for you?
I think it really it alternates depending on the day. But I really work hard to give both brands the attention that they deserve, and that works really well.
Mm-hmm. And today it's Polestar.
right now it's Polestar, yes.
Yes, and I think the Subject of this interview is the precept concept that you showed us that we were going to see in Geneve. How big a relief was it to show the precept, to really show the true Polestar design and not the ones that was inherited, you could say, from Volvo?
Yeah, for us, of course, it was a big shame not to be able to go to Geneva. Obviously, it was for a very good reason. But it's a very important time for us now to show the direction for Polestar. We got a lot of questions. It's like, okay, so how is Polestar different from Volvo? And aha, that the Volvo concept coupe turned into the Polestar 1. And I think that was a very good decision, because that car is in a price range, is in a technology range, that is quite a bit outside the Volvo scope, but is a perfect match for a halo car, of a new electric performance brand. And so is Polestar 2. It's a very, unique character of a vehicle. It fits really well to the Polestar brand. But now with the precept, we are extrapolating that design language and really giving an indication of the future.
I think it was a relief anyway for us to see, now we understood what Polestar will be, that it will be a standalone image or design language.
Yeah, I think this is exactly the right time now to reveal that to the world. And it will also introduce our Polestars to come. So it's not unintentional that some of those design features and some of the technology that we present with the precept will resurface in the next Polestar cars.
Thomas Ingela said that this is our reality to come. And Volvo has also a history of putting the concept cars pretty much into production. So will we see a car like Precept on the roads?
Well, first of all, we don't want to overpromise too much with our concept cars, and that, as you said rightly, is what we did with Volvo as well. And the Precept is a precursor to many, many features and ideas technologies that we will see in Polestar 3. However, Polestar 3, as we said, already will be an aerodynamic performance SUV.
But the Precept, could you take this more to production, or is it just a visionary concept?
For now, the Precept is a concept. It's a vision of our design language. But the Precept has a very realistic package. So it is possible to get a car like this in production, but we will see how the reaction is for this car and take it from there.
Could you have been this bold if the car had a Volvo logo on it?
If you say bold, what do you mean? Can you be?
It is very futuristic. It has no rear windows. It's just another type of car. If you compare it to the Volvo S90 or something like that, it's a different beast.
Well, I mean, the job of Polestar as a brand is to really put technology first and be bold, be extreme in a certain sense. And that is the beauty of having a new brand, where you can define the customer. You can basically, together shape your customer. And with Volvo, we have a beautiful history of nearly 100 years. And I think you have to respect that history, and you have to also fulfill certain expectations to a brand, which is a very good thing. So I think both things are very correct in their own right. I think what we did with Volvo at the time, creating a car like the Concept Coupe, which was a reference to the P1800 at its time, but it did that in a very, very modern and also futuristic way, if you will. That was the way how a traditional brand should look into the future. But for a brand like Polestar, obviously you don't have that opportunity to look back. So we are really looking at technology, the technologies that we are having available these days, and at sustainability and electrification and infotainment. And these four big, big pillars, they come together and create and infuse a completely new design language.
But could you have put the Volvo logo on this Precept concept car?
I don't think so. And that was exactly the intention, to create a car that could not be a Volvo.
Yes.
And as Polestar doesn't really have that long history of Volvo, do you think that Polestar can be even bolder than this in the next concept car design?
Yeah, well, that's a hard thing to say. I think we did a big step with this car. I think the step had is exactly the right the size of jump is perfectly right for the point in time, because as you see the front light signature, for example, there is still some of Thor's hammer in it. It's a split Thor's hammer that is more technical, if you will, but there is still a link to Volvo as the mothership, and I think that is important, and it shows that we respect the family, and it's also good as a symbol to the outside that Polestar is a brand that can be trusted because it originates in the Volvo Group. But we can always be more extreme, but we will see. I think this step was perfectly right for now.
Electrified cars give you an opportunity to do some things that you couldn't done before, because of the engines and the batteries and everything. Do you think this is a new era of car design?
Yes, I personally believe that every innovation in car design should be connected to a step in technology, to a technological innovation. Otherwise, it's just styling. You know, you're just experimenting with shapes to distract from the fact that you don't have anything else to say. But in this case, we have so many new trends and new prerequisites in the car industry, the electric powertrain to start with, but also things like sustainable materials that will have a big impact on how we design car interiors and maybe exteriors. The technology for driver assistance systems that becomes more and more prominent in cars, to the point where with Polestar we decided we will not hide radars, laser scanners, or sensors, ultrasonic sensors, but we will rather feature them and celebrate them, and you know, elevate them to something like the modern way of ornamentation, or the modern way of detailing in cars, away from things like chrome or leather or wood that were the traditional cues of luxury, to something that is inspired by technology and sustainability.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?" So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Yeah, that was actually my next question, because there is the roof-mounted LiDAR on the car that's very, very visible. But there is also the fact that there is no rear window on the car. Is that possible to put the car in production without the rear window?
That's one of my favorite features, because that is exactly what Polestar's job should be in a larger group, and also in the industry as we see it. It's to leverage technology and look at problems that we have today and solve them using new available technologies. So in this case, you know that if you want to look rearwards in a car, what you need is a window in the back, a rear screen. And in order to get the right sight line from your front mirror as a driver, it always leads to the beam, the cross beam in the back, being quite high up. So you get a silhouette that is not ideal for aerodynamics. And in this case, we were solving that problem by applying using a camera system that would take the rear screen's job and display the image in a where the mirror sits, there would be a display instead, and that way you get ample headroom, you get a fantastic large glass roof that spans quite a lot further than the rear occupants' heads, so you get this extremely panoramic views on the interior. It's beautiful. And you get a really sleek aerodynamic silhouette with having a laminar flow of the air across the whole roofline of the car. So, that's a very clever way to leverage technology to solve problems.
Yes. And could you have the visible roof-mounted LiDAR on a real production car? And could you go for the rear hinged back doors? These are things that I think really are cool.
Well, you mean the doors of the car, the ones.
Yes.
The rear, yeah, that's
and the LiDAR as well.
That kind of door system, that is a typical system that we use for concept cars, because we can reveal the view of the complete interior in one.
Yes.
In one shot, in one image. So that's a very beautiful thing. It's not the most practical thing if you think of daily life.
I know. I have a BMW i3, so I know it.
Yeah, exactly. So you actually, to answer your question, yes, it is possible to get it in production, as you know, but I don't think that that's one of the most important features.
No.
LiDAR, however, we know from our safety and from the assistance system team that the position of a LiDAR, the higher it is in a vehicle, so the roof is the ideal position, the better it is for visibility of the laser scanner, and the safer it will operate. So that is the perfect place to be. And
great.
Since it is the perfect place, we cannot and we shouldn't try to hide it, but we rather feature it and work around it. And it's a symbol of a new era of mobility.
Super. Is it easier to design an electric car than a normal ICE car?
That is a good question. Is it easy to design an electric? Well, it's never easy to design a car, but
no,
and it shouldn't be easy. I think if it was easy, we wouldn't take it seriously enough.
So then I could do it.
Working hard to get to our results, but to answer your question, it is different, because what you get, and that in one way makes it easier because of the increased weight, because batteries do weigh quite a lot nowadays. Mm-hmm. Still, you get bigger brakes. Those bigger brakes, they drive bigger wheel diameters, which is something that we designers like. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to have that long overhangs, because sometimes the front mounted engine sits in front of the front axle, so that gives you quite substantial overhang. So with no engine in that place, obviously you can really optimize those proportions. There's one challenge, which is the height of batteries always. So that's why you see a lot of SUVs being the first adopted body styles for electric cars out there, because they are generally higher, so they have a double floor and you can hide the batteries.
Yes.
But we found quite clever ways around that, removing batteries from the rear footwells to enable sleek silhouettes nonetheless.
If you look at the rear of the car, you can see quite a few similarities with the Volkswagen XL1, the futuristic car. Who was the designer of that particular car?
Well, that's should be me then.
Yeah.
But I remember that. I remember that car. Well, but the answer to that is quite simple. If you are this car, the Volkswagen XL1 was designed to be extremely aerodynamic, and I think it still holds the record as the most aerodynamic production car. It was a very small production run, to be fair, but it still is the most aerodynamic production car with 0.189 as a drag coefficient. And there are so many rules that apply when you want to work with the airflow that some of those rules, they're just as long as air behaves the same way as it does, you have to work with those prerequisites. So some of the rear end is designed highly aerodynamically in the precept, and that might lead to the similarity.
Hmm.
Yes.
That XL1 didn't have a rear window either. And also the shape of the rear lights is, there are some familiar shapes, I guess.
Yeah.
And we like it a lot.
Yeah.
It's a great looking car.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, thank you.
Futuristic and, well, bold.
I think it's not, it's actually aging quite well.
But yes.
That's what happens when you work with, that's what I said, when technology drives a design, it just becomes even purer and more timeless.
Mm-hmm. I drew it quite a lot when we had the press car, and it was really fun to drive as well. Congratulations on that one, the design.
Oh, thank you.
Could you name one really interesting new car design, if you're not talk about Volvo Polestar, a car that you think is futuristic or pushing boundaries and so on?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think there's so many interesting new cars in the industry out there. Let me think a little bit. I have a couple of new cars that I really like. There is a little Honda car that is recently have been launched into production. I don't exactly know the name.
The E car.
You can help me.
Yeah,
yeah, the E car by Honda.
Honda E,
and that's a fantastic little car. So it's a totally different character than our cars, but it has so much character, and it's again using electrification to really create a completely new and breed of small car, and I like it a lot. So that's just one example that just brings to mind, but there are many, many more.
Right. What do you think about the Koenigsegg Jimera, who has a small combustion engine that makes it possible to make a four-seater out of a really sporty supercar?
Great concept. Great, but that's what we are used to from Koenigsegg by now, that they have great concepts when it comes to engineering. And the design is very, very nice, too.
Mm-hmm. I thought you were going to mention the Cybertruck here, but you didn't.
I didn't. You're right. I didn't. The Cybertruck, to be fair, the Cybertruck is a very interesting concept, too.
Yeah.
If we go back to the Polestar 3, could you say anything? Would it be more bold than the current Polestar 1 and 2 in design?
So Polestar 1, as I said before, was designed originally as the DNA donor for the Volvo lineup. So I would say this car is an extremely classical, powerful, beautiful GT. Mm. And that was its job at the time, and it works still very well as a halo car for a new brand. And the Polestar 2 took quite a big leap into a bit more provocative, direction. And I am a big fan. I mean, I don't know if you can say that yourself about the team's work, but I am really a big fan of this car because of its strong character, because it takes electrification and works with it and creates new characters that haven't been seen like that. Like a fastback that is on a crossover kind of chassis is very, very exciting. And it has so much power, that car. I can't wait to see it on the road more often. I mean, we have the first prototypes obviously running around in Tuschlanda, and it's always fun to see it because it has that presence on the road.
Yeah, and I think we will drive it in June, I hope.
Yes. I'm looking forward to that. And this is a great car. So I think the Precept, you know, is a symbol for our future design language, but its proportions and its general shape is also quite classical. It's quite a beautiful object. So I think it strikes the balance really well between having a new, very fresh technology-inspired design language, but then not alienating in any sense because it has these beautiful proportions.
Will it be hard to stand out from all other electric cars when you have sort of the same objective to be really aerodynamic and no overhangs and so on? Do you think, could it be so that a lot of cars will be really similar in the future in like 5 years' time?
I must say aerodynamics is a big challenge for us. It's always been a big challenge for the for consumption and for the emission standards. So it's not that the car industry was lazy when it comes to aerodynamics. It was always very, very high up on the agenda. And as you mentioned before, I was also working with it a lot. But in electrification, it's even more important now. So I think we will see a lot more focus on aerodynamics, that's for sure. But I don't see I still see a large variety in body styles nonetheless, because once the whole industry is going to move towards electrification, there will be cars for every need and for every type of customer and so on. So I don't see a trend towards the same and more of the same. No.
Okay, great.
Perfect. Max, I know that you are on a tight schedule this day, and we thank you for taking time to talk to us. And just one last thing before we let you go. Do you know when it will be able to drive the Precept concept car for us journalists, and when will the people on the street be able to buy the Precept? Will it be the Polestar 4 or will it be the Polestar 5?
Hey, I wish I could answer that. I mean, we will see what the future brings. I think for now, it would be really nice to find a chance to show you the car in reality, because it's always so much more powerful when you can experience it for real. So in that sense, it was a shame that we didn't have that chance in Geneva. But yeah, let's see. Hopefully we have that chance soon.
Yeah, we are looking forward for it, really. And I think it will stand out on the streets as well if you produce it.
Yeah, we actually hope it will be the Polestar number 4.
I guess Polestar number 6. That's my bet.
We can have a bet on that. Okay, Max, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Talk to you soon again, I hope.
Great talking to you.
Same here.
Keep on the good work.
Thank you very much. Good talking to you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.